Hey everyone, welcome back to Agency Hacker. I'm Destine, your co-host of the show. Today we are here with Kathy Murphy, the CEO and founder of Venus Media Group. How are you today, Kathy?
Hi, I'm doing great. Thanks so much for having me, Destine.
Of course. I'm glad to know you're doing well. Let's get started.
Awesome.
What does your agency do and how did you start it?
Well, I own and operate a multicultural and female-focused advertising agency. And what we do is we plan, buy, negotiate, and optimize media for rising brands. And in particular, for rising brands looking to reach women or those that identify as women, and rising brands that are looking to reach multicultural audiences. And I got started in 2018 after two decades of working in the media landscape. And I worked direct for publishers and direct for media companies. And those included companies like CBS Radio, CBS television stations, Pandora, and a stint at Facebook and Instagram. And what I decided was that during my time at Facebook and Instagram, I learned that unless you were a really big advertiser, somebody that spent $1 million a month in advertising, good luck. Nobody was going to pick up the phone and try to help you, optimize your campaigns or understand how working with Facebook and Instagram fit into the larger picture of a full funnel marketing strategy. And I realized because I had worked in the audio space, the video space, and also in the social media space, that the biggest thing that clients needed help was number one, understanding this really ever-changing media landscape, because every day something new is happening, right? 2 years ago, nobody knew what TikTok was. Now it is a huge platform and advertisers are remiss if they're not on there. And so number one, I wanted to educate potential advertisers and really teach them and grow with them over time. And number two, I felt incredibly passionate about having a female-founded and female-run advertising agency, because whether you realize it or not, there are 22,000 advertising agencies in the United States and less than 1% are owned by women. And so I thought, wow, this is a huge opportunity to really connect with other female founders of brands and brands that are just really passionate about wanting to reach women. Because let's face it, women are the CEOs of the household. They make and influence 85% of purchase decisions every day. And I would argue that during the pandemic, that number has probably shifted to 90% plus. And that includes everything from healthcare decisions to home purchases to what kind of car you drive. Women are incredibly influential. So I really wanted to tap into that and reach women as primary consumers and also really help brands to connect with women where they are throughout their day as they're consuming media.
Wow, that's huge. I love your passion just about, just a female-focused agency. This conversation is so important. And, like you said, technology is rapidly evolving and just keeping up to date is so important. What would you say was the biggest thing you learned from your two decades in your media landscape pouring into what you're doing now?
Yeah, that's a great question. The biggest thing I learned is media doesn't operate in a silo, right? We can't make assumptions that just because you are a millennial woman that all you do is read millennial blogs all day long and you only listen to Spotify, that there's some misconceptions out there, in particular with multicultural audiences, right? And so I am a Latina woman, even though I don't necessarily look it, blonde hair and blue eyes, but I'm of Latina descent. And my co-founder, Sylvia Herrera, is also of Latina descent. And we function in very different ways. The kinds of media that we listen to or that we consume is really different throughout the day. And it used to be 10 years ago that as a Latina woman, you would think in order to reach me, I only listened to Hispanic radio stations and I watched Univision all day long. Mm-hmm. Well, that's not necessarily true anymore, right? Maybe I check sports scores on ESPN because I'm a huge baseball fan, or I'm checking the weather on another app, or I'm using Snapchat to connect with my children. And so I think that there is just a lot of misconceptions about how the everyday person consumes media. And that was really getting lost, because if you are a focus group of one and you decide that all, you know, Hispanic women only do this, or all Black women only do that, you're really leaving out a world of opportunity, because guess what? Women are awesome and multifaceted, and we are all day long multitasking. And so we're doing a variety of things. We are listening to podcasts. We're listening to terrestrial radio. We're driving around and looking at billboards. And, you know, with the average attention span being 8 seconds or less of a consumer nowadays, you really have to be out there with the right message at the right time in order to reach your prime consumer. And so my 20 years of experience taught me that you really can't make those assumptions about who the consumer is anymore. And you have to have an audience-based approach that reaches women throughout their day, regardless of what platforms they're on.
Wow, that's huge. I did not know that the average attention span is 8 seconds or less. That's insane.
Less than that of a goldfish, which is terrifying.
Oh, gosh. You know, you mentioned an audience-based approach. Can you expand more on how you're able to just help your clients with that along their journey?
Yeah, the first thing that we do is really break down exactly what I mentioned to you, which is break down assumptions. You can't have a focus group of one. You can't assume that if you're a Black woman that all you do is consume BET media and that you're only reading Essence magazine, because you could be reading a whole variety of different things online. And so we really try to break down those assumptions first. And that's where the education really comes in. And the second thing that we do for our clients is we show them data. So we go into their back end and really look at and analyze, who is your consumer? Who is your current shopper? Who do you think they are? And who are they really? Because sometimes we meet with advertisers and they say, like, oh, you know what? My consumer is 45 to 54, and this is what she likes to buy. And then when we really deep dive into it, we go, actually, more people are clicking on your ads and converting that are 30 to 44. So we need to optimize that. So again, I think it's just taking out those assumptions to begin with. And then secondly, really helping them reach that audience through data and through insights that we're providing along the way. And then once we find that woman, we will track her down throughout her day, because the average person sees about 10 to 15,000 ad messages a day. And for Gen Z, it's almost 20,000 ad messages a day.
Wow.
That is a lot of messaging out there. And so we have to find a way to break through the clutter, because through all of that, you're really only consuming about 9 minutes of advertising a day. So how are you making sure that that ad is standing out and that it is reaching you in the environment that you want it to reach you in, so that you can actually buy the thing that we are trying to sell you, whether it is a product or it is a service? Because we're all guilty. We're all thumb scrolling all day long. And the stat that I learned while I was at Facebook, which has been almost 5 years ago now, so I'm sure it's gone up, is that the average person scrolls through the Empire State Building worth of content every single day. That's amazing, right? I was just in New York City last weekend. The Empire State Building is huge. So to think about that's how much content you're scrolling through is just insanity. So what are we going to do to have thumb-stopping creative and make sure that that message is in the right environment at the right time to capture your attention? Because with the attention spans being short, under 8 seconds, the average consumer being bombarded with ad messages, right, between 10 and 15,000 a day, and the average person just scrolling and scrolling and doom scrolling all day long, we have to make sure that we're going to capture their attention. And we use a lot of different mediums and a lot of different tactics to do that.
Wow. Yeah, thank you for that thorough explanation. That's insane, the Empire State Building. My jaw's like dropping this entire episode already. It's crazy. You know, it just this world of consumerism, I feel like it's just it's so important to be intentional, I would say. How would you say you're able to help your clients just break through the clutter and have them just have a maybe a niched voice or a niched type of story, I would say?
Yeah, well, what my agency doesn't actually create ads. We partner with agencies that create the ads, and we're constantly advising them on the ever-changing landscape. For example, Instagram, you know, a little over a year ago started optimizing towards reels and towards video creative, right, in order to chase after TikTok. And so, you know, 2 or 3 years ago, clients were kind of toe-dipping in the water of video, but now on your phone all day long, people are consuming video. That's what your thumb stops on. And so we advise our clients and creative partners, hey, we've got to be creating more video content, and we need to be putting that out there more frequently. And then what our job is to A-B test. So we want to see, hey, did the video with the pink shirt, did more people click on that one, or the video with the purple shirt, right? And we can really clearly see that and test it, and then go back and prove the results back to our clients. We need clients that have an open mindset, that are open to testing and learning, which is really helpful. But we help teach them and guide them along the way as to how the platforms are evolving and how we can, you know, help them meet the consumer where they are throughout their journey. Another really underutilized platform we think is audio. Audio is exploding. I mean, hi, we're on a podcast right now. People are listening and consuming things all day long, we hope. And so we think podcasting is an amazing place for people to really get a strong brand message out there. I can't tell you how many products I've bought that I've heard on podcasts.
Yeah.
And so I think that's really an important medium as well. And this time of year with the holidays around the corner, listen, people are at home. Last night I was cooking, baking cookies with my daughter and decorating them. And we had, you know, streaming audio on in the background. And of course there was ads on the platform we were listening through. So I think audio has been an kind of underutilized platform, but something that deserves more credit and a lot bigger spotlight in the years to come.
Yeah, I would definitely agree with that. I think it's, like you said, it's an easy way to just understand someone's brand message and just overall, yeah, I mean, message and what they're trying to put out there in the world. You know, I love that you mentioned just being open to testing and to learning. That's amazing. What would you say, or how did you get your clients in the past compared to now? And are you selective within that process?
Yeah, most of our clients have come really from relationships that we've had. You know, being in the advertising business in New York City for 20 years means that we have a lot of contacts in the space, and we really are known as overall great marketers. And so there's a trust and a foundation that's been built with clients over time that means that they know that you're going to come to the table with new ideas and always service them at the top. And that's why I tell people relationships are so important in this business. Don't ever burn a bridge, because your integrity and relationship is all you have to hang your hat on at the end of the day. One of the ways that we have earned a lot of business in the last 2 years, and in particular since the pandemic hit, is we are registered as a minority and women-owned business. And that's really important because, hey, there's not enough of us out there. There are not enough. I mentioned the stat earlier. There are not enough minority and women-owned businesses. They're getting credit. You know, for years, Madison Avenue was full of old white men. And now we are here to break that mold. And get our unfair share of the business. So we tout that. If you look at my website, venusmediagroup.com, you will see that we walk the walk. We talk the talk. We are a multicultural agency at our core. And our mission is to help rising brands and to help connect individuals with goods and services that serve multicultural audiences. We have purchased ads in up to 19 languages, which is amazing. Ads in Urdu and Hindi ads in Korean and Russian, it's pretty amazing because we have a passion point for that. So I think that that's really important. And it has helped us earn a lot of business over the past couple of years, which has been great.
Yeah, I think that's amazing that, you know, you're just emphasizing the importance of just being multifaceted and just being everyone being unique. That's so important. And I just love this conversation of just paving a new way in this industry and then also for your clients. What would you say your agency's expertise is?
Our expertise is hands down strategy and buying media for our clients. Because our friends work at every platform under the sun, we can call them and get access to more added value, better programs, A/B testing opportunities, and really first to market programs that come out there. We are insiders. In fact, nobody that works at my agency ever worked at an advertising agency before.
Oh, wow.
We all come with backgrounds working at media platforms. So that means that we know the media business from the inside out. We know how to call and ask for things that other agencies would never think to call of or never ask it because we sold it. We were on the other side of the bench before. And so we are master negotiators and we fight tooth and nail for our clients, and they really see that play out in their results because we utilize our relationships and we utilize our insider expertise to make sure that we are giving our clients the maximum added value.
Wow, that's amazing. Can you expand a little bit more on the insider expertise part?
Yeah, I think if you, I'll use an example. When we worked at Pandora, which three people of my team have worked at Pandora, a platform we love, we've all listened to. I was listening to it last night with my daughter. We understand the nuances of how Pandora works and the programs that they offer to advertisers, big and small. Whether that is a concert sponsorship idea, or it's working with an influencer, or it's creating a brand station, which we did for one of our clients 2 years ago. We built a station for New York City that was called For My City. And it was in the heart of the pandemic in November of 2020. And the entire station was built by a really famous DJ named Vashti. And she is a West Indian DJ born in the who lives in New York City, and we were promoting, trying to get people just comfortable with the idea of going in and getting tested. Because you remember 2 years ago, nobody wanted to get COVID tested. And there was a lot of fear. I don't want to stick that thing up my nose. I'm really uncomfortable. It's the brain tickler. I'm not doing that. I mean, now everybody has them in like their cabinet in their sink. But, you know, there was a lot of hesitation 2 years ago. So we thought, why don't we work with Pandora and build this really cool program where we'll have a DJ who's an influencer, and she'll come in and she'll speak about why it's important to go get tested for your family, get tested for your friends, get tested before the holidays. And then she built a playlist of really cool songs that were reflective of New York City, right? And we built an entire program and promoted it. And I'm not sure that we would have necessarily known about that had we not worked inside the platform ourselves and known that there were opportunities like that. And so part of the strategy and the brain storming and really the fun part of our job is taking this insider expertise that we have and going, okay, remember when we sold that? Or remember this program that we put together that one time? Let's go back and talk to some of our friends and get some cool ideas together. And then we'll go to the client and approach them with this. And New York City loved it. They thought it was really cool and really innovative. And it was a great way for us to bring that multicultural, you know, female to the forefront, and especially women as the healthcare decision makers in the home. It was the mom, the next door neighbor, your grandmother, your auntie, your friend that was saying, hey girl, you got to go get tested, like go before we all get together for Thanksgiving or Christmas. And so we felt like that was a really great example of how we were able to use that insider expertise.
Yeah, thank you for that example. You know, I love that it's just, it really does emphasize the importance once again on just utilizing relationships. That's huge. And then also having an insider perspective, like you mentioned, you know, within your team. How has it been like with your team? How many of the how many are inside your team, and when did you get to a point where you're like, okay, I need one?
Yeah, our team is now 7, mm-hmm. and then we work hand in hand with some contractors that come in and out, but really 7 full-time employees, and all women to date. Mm-hmm. Not saying that that won't change over time. It could evolve, but, you know, for now, all women, and our team is great. We really are like a family, and I know a lot of companies say that, but we truly treat each other like family, and our team has a variety of different backgrounds. Again, everything from digital sales to radio to television to audio streaming platforms. Mm-hmm. And that's really important because everybody brings that different perspective and new and exciting relationships to the table. And mm-hmm. we continue to expand on that, which is really fun. And you know, I hope that we continue to grow over the next year or 2 years. I'd love to see us grow to a team of 10, a team of 12. I'm not sure that we want to be a team of 50 anytime soon, uh-huh. but I think my words on that. I think we have something really exciting to offer. And because the culture of our company is so strong, and we really are women who support other women, that's really important and really attractive as we are looking for new talent to join our team.
Yeah, I think that's amazing that your culture is strong and it's all women as well. I think that's amazing too. It's important to have fresh perspectives. And once again, it's just important to have a team, of course. But when did you get to a point where you feel like you needed one, or what year was that? How was 20, like, was it during the 2020 transition at all, or was it before then?
You know, really in the last year, we've expanded our team dramatically. For a long time, we had, you know, 3 employees, and then there were 4 of us, and we were really kind of just working through everything together. And there's a lot of highs and lows in owning a business. And we had kind of people come in and people go out of the business. But now we've had this solid group in place for about a year now. And we've just slowly added talent as our client roster has evolved, because what we don't want to do is grow too fast where we have too much talent and not enough clients.
Yeah.
And we also don't want to have too many clients and not enough talent that we can't actually service the clients in the right way. So it is a delicate balance, but we've added slowly but surely over time.
Yeah, that balance is so important. Thank you for expanding on that. You know, what would you say, just to transition, what would you say you're currently just learning and working on right now to level up your agency?
That list is probably so long because we are constantly evolving. Well, there's a lot to be said for what's going to happen next year when the cookie crumbles. So at the end of 2023, beginning of 2024, Google has announced that they will no longer have cookies placed on websites. And that's a main form of tracking individuals and kind of understanding what their behaviors are, especially in the digital landscape. And so we are really trying to understand what other solutions there will be from a variety of different platforms, and in particular in the digital space, for how consumers can share their data in a private manner that makes them feel comfortable, but that also allows advertisers to advertise to them the products and services that they want. Because here's where the media landscape's changed. 20 years ago, 30 years ago, put an ad on TV, and it was a one-to-many message, right? So maybe you're watching TV at home with your parents and your grandparents, and there's an ad for shaving cream. And that ad really applied to one person in the room, right? Maybe it applied to your dad, maybe your grandpa too. And they're like, that's nice. We don't care about that, right? So there's all these wasted impressions out there. And now what's happened is whether people love it or hate it, because we get a lot of mixed reviews, you get personalized ads. You are getting ads that are targeted and that are for something that you actually want to buy. You want to buy a new pair of earrings. You're going to get an ad for that. You want to, have a service that is a women's services, a women's healthcare service. You're going to see an ad for that. Yes, it's going to follow you around, but there is that one-to-one interaction. And that is because cookies have allowed for that. And so part of what we're doing is understanding, learning ourselves, but also gearing up and teaching our clients about how they can be prepared for that. And then really just transitioning our clients to owning their own data. So what you probably realize now is, I'm sure you've been doing a lot of shopping online like I have. It's Cyber Monday, right? Black Friday, you're doing a lot of shopping online. Is that everybody's asking you now for your email address and your phone number. Well, they're doing that for a reason, because they want to then own your data so that then they can market to you directly. And guess what? You want to give them your data, because if you love their products, right? I love to shop at Lululemon. I will gladly give them my phone number so that then I get the text saying that there's a 20% off deal for Cyber Monday. Mm-hmm. So that's really important. And we're really guiding our clients through how to build their own CRM and data systems so that as Google makes this change, it will hopefully have a minimal effect, if any, on them.
Wow, that's huge. Building their own CRM and data. Has that been difficult over time, just learning how to teach your clients this? Or is it just something that you're gauging right now, would you say?
Yeah, I think over the last 4 years, we've certainly learned a lot. And again, the landscape continues to evolve, right? Today it's TikTok, tomorrow it'll be something totally different. Mm-hmm. And so I think part of what we do and we pride ourselves on is we are constantly learning, mm-hmm. and we are getting educated. We attend things like Ad Week for 4 days in New York, and we go to as many seminars as we possibly can. We are going online and actually doing various training sessions, whether it's with Facebook or it's with Google online. And so we've certainly done that in order to keep up with the trends, but also to help teach our clients along the way. And then a lot of it is really explaining things in the way that I'm explaining them to you today, in a way that somebody actually can put themselves in the shoes and go, oh, this example actually makes sense to me. Yeah. Because what we found a lot of agencies do is they throw a bunch of data at you. They show you a bunch of charts and spout a bunch of numbers out. But you're like, wait, that doesn't make sense to me. Mm. And so a lot of it is just a practical explanation behind the tech and the data that's happening in the background.
Yeah, I think that's huge. This conversation definitely has been, I feel like, really personal, but also thorough, and just like, okay, here's a real world example. And I do feel like I'm like, okay, I'm with you this entire time. That's good. Important, I would say. What skill would you say just throughout the years that you've had to just cultivate over time just to get to the place that you are in today?
Well, I've been really fortunate, and then I've been in a leadership position since I was 26 years old.
Wow.
I started as a local sales manager at a radio station in New York City, and grew to be a general sales manager, and then grew to be a vice president of television stations. And as anybody that has ever led a sports team, a company, anything in their lifetime will tell you, it is, it's like the school of hard knocks. It can be really challenging to be a leader. You're going to have great days, and you're going to have some bad days too. Yeah. And fortunately, in my first 2 years as a manager in my late 20s, number one, I didn't have a family at that time. And so I could work 80, 100 hour weeks and put my whole life into that in order to learn along the way. Number two, I had a really helpful and forgiving management team with me at the time that invested in me to go to management training seminars, and that really picked me up when I fell down, because I made every management mistake in the book you could possibly make. And you know what? I probably made some last week too. That's okay. So, you know, again, being a leader isn't a job or a skill where you have to be perfect. I think it's one where you have to be transparent and honest. So now what I try to do is really be transparent with clients and transparent with my team. And that means that sometimes I am telling people, actually often I am telling people the thing that they don't want to hear. So this advertising budget that you have, please don't spend it. It's not enough money. It's going to be a waste, and you're not going to get results if you're only going to spend these $2. Take that money, go out to a nice dinner with your family. You're going to feel better satisfaction from that than you are from not spending enough money on an ad campaign, right? Or or hey, we're doing this thing and I know that you love, 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 love this podcast. Mm-hmm. And you think it's amazing and you only want to advertise there, but we have to stop because the results aren't coming in and that's not where your consumer is. So you thought it was this, but it's actually that, right? And so I think that when you have had a lot of leadership training and really just on the job time over time, it makes you learn a lot, but also makes you want to continue to lead teams and lead your clients in a way that, again, is full of honesty and transparency.
Yeah, that's huge. You know, thank you for your honesty. Honesty, that's fitting. As I was going to say, actually, is that just be, as a leader and just, you know, being honest, would you say, or just transparent, would you say that that's one of your core values within your agency?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Definitely one of our core values is, you know, we're super communicative. Mm-hmm. I think most people, when you're in a service industry, they just don't want to feel like, hey, I sent you this email and nobody responded to me, right? So you have to be really communicative and again, really transparent. That helps build trust over time. And I'd much rather tell somebody no today and hope that they come back tomorrow or in 3 months or in a year rather than be just a yes woman and say, yes, yes, yes. No, absolutely. We'll do that. And then we're taking their money and wasting it. Right. But that serves nobody. And by the way, we won't get any referral business if we do that. Mm. And we'll get a bad reputation in the marketplace. And nobody wants that either.
Yeah, absolutely. Integrity is so important. You know, just to transition, what would you say you're currently most proud of right now on your journey?
Wow. I am proud that we have survived 4 years, you know, including 2.5 years of pandemic. We were only 18 months into owning our own business when the pandemic hit, and we went through a tough time, a time where we had to furlough employees, a time where we had to take a pause. Big part of my business is healthcare. And so, and working with hospitals. So you can imagine when COVID hit, we weren't advertising for people to go to hospitals anymore.
Oh, wow.
We're trying to keep people out of the hospital. So that was a challenging time for us. And we turned around and a year later, we quadrupled our business.
Mm.
So I think the thing I'm proud of is being resilient. Mm. And the fact that we have survived so much in these 4 years that I can't wait to see what we do over the next 4 and over the next, you know, 40 years. I hope that this business definitely outlives me and that we set a foundation in place that is stable and that we continue to grow our team and grow our client base because what we have to offer is really unique and doesn't exist elsewhere.
Yeah, absolutely. That's so amazing. You know, I was just thinking of the word resilience as you said it. So I was like, oh yeah, that's just such a big blessing that you're able to just grow, especially after 2020, you know, just to transition or just on the flip of that question, what would you say is your biggest rock right now on your journey to 7 figures?
I think every day we are pushing multiple boulders up a hill.
Mm.
And my personal one is which boulder to focus on.
Mm.
Because there is no shortage of work to be done or strategic thinking to be happening. And I think as a leader, you really have to find time to pause and go back to your mission and really take time to be visionary. Because if you're visionary as a leader, you will have more of an opportunity to guide your team through what could be really turbulent times ahead. Mm. You know, there's economic uncertainty around the corner. Mm. And so that is a boulder that I'm currently focusing on. How do I keep my team motivated? How do we keep our clients from, you know, pulling their advertising budgets because they're scared? And at the same time, how do I balance that with also thinking about the forward, you know, moving vision of the company? What does this look like in 18 months or in 2 years or in 4 years from now? Yeah. So again, the biggest challenge is, which challenge to focus on in this exact minute, because there's only so many hours in the day, right? And there's never ending abundance of work. And so it's really just finding the focus and staying visionary.
Yeah, I think that's huge. Long-term thinking is important. Also, just picking your battles, right?
Yeah.
Like you said. You know, do you happen to have any favorite agency scaling influencers or authors that have just helped you or molded you along your journey?
Wow. I think from an author perspective, I'm just a huge fan of anything that Adam Grant writes. I also really like a lot of the leadership terminology that comes out of Simon Sinek. I think from an agency perspective, I've been impressed with what Gary Vee does. I think that he definitely has a cachet to him that is second to none. I think, unfortunately, he's still a little, you know, bit of, you know, the white guy stereotype from Madison Avenue, just a little younger version, unfortunately. But you know, he's very smart in the way that I think he talks about putting employees first. And if you put employees first, they'll take care of your customers. So I do like that. So I think those are some of the people that I'm listening to or I'm thinking about or I'm reading about often. And I also listen a lot to a variety of different podcasts. I listen to Pivot. I listen to How I Built This. You know, I'm just always trying to understand, like, how are other founders doing it? What are their hurdles? You know, what challenges are they facing? And how can I avoid those or learn from those along the way?
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for sharing that. I similarly just love the importance on putting your employees first and serving, like not thinking about yourself first. Gary Vee definitely emphasizes, which is important. You know, yeah. I really love this conversation. It's been very honest, and I'm certain listeners really enjoy this. Do you have any last advice for agency owners listening to this or your peers listening to this as well?
Yeah, I think for agency owners, it's just stick it out. Every day is a grind, but if you get up and you wake up and you're passionate about what you do, like I'm clearly a very passionate person, that passion will pay the bills in time, right? Don't give up when the going gets tough, because we have had a lot of tough things happen in the last 4 years and we're still here and we're not going away anytime soon. So, you know, I would say follow your passion, as cliche as that sounds, but, you know, to continue to serve the people around you and you'll be successful. And my other piece of advice would be, you know, always operate with integrity and always keep your reputation in the marketplace. That is so important. It will bring you business. It will bring you employees, and all of those things will work together in time. I wouldn't have the agency that I have today if I hadn't spent, you know, over 2 decades building my reputation and integrity in the New York City advertising landscape. And so I'm really grateful for that, and continue to be grateful for all of the people that have mentored me along the way. Oh my gosh, the list is so long. I could spend another half an hour talking about that. But, you know, my last piece of advice would be mentor somebody, you know, bring somebody up through an organization. I was very fortunate. I worked in an industry full of men, and I was able to get some mentorship and some guidance, some leadership that really helped me pull up through the ranks. So I would say it wasn't easy as a woman in my space. And I think if you're a man or a woman, you need to look around you and say, how can I pull somebody up? How can I mentor some folks around me? And if they're a woman, and in particular a woman of color, pull them up today, not tomorrow, because we need more diverse leadership across the board in my industry and probably in several other industries too. Diversity is going to be key to how our society is going to continue to progress over the next several decades.
Yeah. Absolutely. You know, thank you so much for this conversation. It's been just very enlightening and just passion. I love the passion, honestly. It just goes to show that like you care about what you do and you mean it. You know, it's not just about the numbers or the people, but it's truly about something that is meaningful and that's so important.
Yeah, you know? Absolutely. Well, for anybody listening, please follow us on our social media. That's my shameless plug. So
perfect. That was the next question.
Yeah. venusmediagroup.com. Look at our website. Follow us on social. We're on every social platform. And we love to connect. So we are in a space now where we're very staffed up, which is exciting. And we are looking to take on some new clients in 2023. So we would love to hear from you.
Yay. Is there any other way that people can get in contact with you? Is that all? Just to make sure.
Well, I will give out my personal email, which I don't do very often, but I think it's fair for the podcast to give out my email for people to contact me directly, which is Kathy, that's C-A-T-H-Y, at venusmediagroup.com. So again, I would love to hear from anybody that is listening and is wants to do a knowledge exchange or is interested in talking about how we could grow together. That would be really exciting.
Yay. Thank you so much for your time today, Kathy. And yeah, have a good rest of your day.
You too. Take care. Thanks again.